We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. Baseball and espionage. Two words that don't usually go together in a sentence, but they did when it came to Morris Berg. Berg, known to longtime baseball fans as Mo Berg, was a major league catcher in the 1920s and 30s. He later caught secrets from enemies of the United States during World War II. A documentary about Berg's life in sports and espionage is titled The Spy Behind Home Plate, and it's playing at the Oriental Theater in Milwaukee through this evening. The film's director, Aviva Kempner, has a pretty good batting average herself, having made several documentaries about non-stereotypical images of Jews. From her home in Washington, D.C., Kempner told WUWM's Chuck Kornbach why Mo Berg's story was worth her time.
Well, my M.O. is to make films about underknown Jewish heroes. And that's what I've done in the past. Another baseball player, Hank Greenberg, who played during the Depression against a lot of anti-Semitism, called Life and Times of Hank Greenberg, a film about Jews resisting the Nazis called Partisans of Vilna, Gertrude Berg, who developed the first sitcom, and You, Mrs. Goldberg, and faced McCarthyism and sexism, and Julius Rosenwald, who 100 years ago tried to eradicate or help against Jim Crow and racism by working with African-American communities to build 5,000 schools. So when a businessman in Phoenix, William Levine, said to me, you know, I really would like you to make a film about Mo Berg, it just sort of totally fit in my MO about, again, exploring, you know, what it was about Hitler, how did we as Americans respond against him. And myself, I'm a child of a Holocaust survivor born in Berlin after the war, so I take special interest in trying to examine those times.
Now, Mo Berg was a baseball player, a very good one, but what got him into being a spy? What did he do as a spy? Tell us more about his exploits in espionage.
Yes, I'm glad you said that, by the way, a good player, because for 15 years he had a .243 average and a very good catcher. Well, it turns out that Mo was really good at languages. He had majored in linguistics at Princeton. He may have known 8 to 12 languages, although the joke was he couldn't hit in any of them. And he was already, I believe, on the radar when he was already in his second year of coaching at the Boston Red Sox, when Nelson Rockefeller had him go on the guise of observing baseball in South America. But what he really was sending reports back is, were the Nazis gaining influence in South America, was something we were really worried about. And once Wild Bill Donovan was requested by President Roosevelt to develop this new intelligence agency after the horror of Pearl Harbor, he developed OSS, by the way, with the help of Ian Fleming of James Bond fame. Wild Bill Donovan picked certain people that he thought would be very good in OSS. There's a lot of Ivy Leaguers. There were safecrackers. There were people from Hollywood like John Ford, the director, Marlena Dietrich. And he was very smart in picking someone who both had brain and brawn, like Mo Berg, and who had traveled a lot. And as someone who's Jewish, the son of immigrants, I believe had a real personal stake in making sure to bring the Nazis down.
I was going to say, it was one thing to fight against Hitler as part of the U.S. Army or Navy. What gave Mo Berg the extra desire, do you think, to enter the pretty dangerous world of espionage?
Mo was already in his early 40s when he was recruited in the OSS. So he fit the profile of not someone who would go in, you know, with a gun and be part of an artillery force, but someone who knew the languages. He had gone to Europe almost every year. During the winter when he wasn't playing baseball, he was well-versed in customs. He knew languages. As a matter of fact, some of the people Mo worked with were son of immigrants or immigrants themselves. They made the best spies because they knew the languages, the customs in Europe. In Italy, he was trying to get scientists away from being recruited by the Germans once Italy fell. And he knew Italian perfect, so it just made total sense that he'd be the one sent. He also had a brilliant mind, and if you're going to have someone be a nuclear espionage spy, you have to really teach them about what they're looking for, and Mo could soak that in.
Now, Mo Berg was often described as enigmatic. Did that make it harder for you to find sources who could talk about him with accuracy.
Well, I'm very lucky in making this film that two filmmakers 30 years ago had interviewed the men he spied with and the men he played ball with. And although that film was never finished and out to the public, the interviews were sent to a Princeton library. I knew about them because one of the filmmakers was Jerry Feldman, who had shot interviews for my Hank Greenberg film, and I contacted him and the other gentleman, Neil Goldstein, who was in the film, and I was able to access those interviews, digitize them for use in the film, and it makes all the difference because at least there are people talking directly who had played with Mo and spied with Mo. Plus, there are a lot of documents still in terms of in different libraries in Newark where he grew up, at Columbia Law School where he went to law school, and Princeton where he went undergrad. And then I had the advantage, also among these interviews, is having this long interview with his brother, Sam Berg. And then there are other people I found who are the children of people he encountered. But actually, you're right. People would come up to him and say, well, what did you do during the war? You know, after the war, he went to a lot of baseball games. He was in the press box. And he'd always take his finger to his mouth and go, shh, I can't talk about it.
You know, former baseball commissioner Bud Selig, also a former Milwaukee Brewers owner, of course, is in the film. What was Bud's contribution?
You know, I had always long admired Bud for his long term as a commissioner of baseball. He had once given me one of my awards for the Life and Times of Hank Greenberg, where I dedicated that award to the return of Major League Baseball to D.C., which he did, and I'm always very grateful to Bud for doing that. So when it came to interviewing people about the past and in baseball, it was just logical that I could interview Bud from the perspective of being a commissioner. And also as someone who is Jewish and in his own way, you know, has knowledge about the former players who played. And of course, there's a great story in the film where Mo gets on this TV show. It's called Information Please, sort of what we just like have Jeopardy in right now in America. And he does very well. And there's such a big following that hundreds of letters come in. And former Commissioner Landis says, Mo, you did more for baseball than I ever did. So who's better to ask about what Landis said than Bud Selig, who became commissioner afterwards?
And about Mo Berg, you said he went to baseball games and was on this show. What about his other life after World War II?
I have to say that Mo Berg, like many people who came back from war, just could not adjust back to as well having a normal life. It's too bad because he was already coaching for 2 years and as a catcher, many managers came out of being coaches. And I think Mo, if he hadn't gone to war, probably would have succeeded in being a manager one day. And he somewhat seemed lost after the war. And because of that, you never saw him really have a real job. He was first with one sibling and then another. And so for that reason, I decided to really concentrate on his upbringing, his playing years, which were great fun, including in 1934. He went on an all-star trip to Japan, where he had already shown some signs of the makings of a good spy by taking footage of the Tokyo skyline.
Now, we should add that there was a biographical film made about Mr. Berg a year ago called The Catcher Was a Spy, The Mysterious Life of Mo Berg. Actor Paul Rudd played Berg. Besides the use of actors, of course, how is your film, The Spy Behind Home Plate, different? What more does it tell us about Mo Berg?
Well, I actually think it's a fictionalized version of elements of his life that there's nothing we ever found. You know, we also went through a lot of the declassified OSS records. So if you really want to know the true story of Mo Berg's life, please see The Spy Behind Home Plate.
You talked about your mission earlier about your MO about making films about Jews who made a positive difference in perhaps non-traditional ways. Is that a harder point to make now, the contributions of everyone to the U.S. When some politicians don't seem to value all ethnic and religious groups, or when anti-Semitic acts, often very violent, are still taking place?
Not only don't I think it's harder to make, I think it's even more important to make. I think one thing I take away from this film is in today's world, we worry very much about the capability of nuclear bombs in North Africa, in the Middle East, in Russia. Who are the spies today? I mean, they're probably the immigrants, the children of immigrants. They made the best ones. And I think it's important today to know that someone who was the son of Jewish immigrants who grew up in Newark, you know, was really one of our heroes and risked his life. Because if Hitler had developed the nuclear bomb, quite frankly, we wouldn't be talking today.
Finally, I wanted to ask you about being a woman making documentary films. We hear at the Oscars about the relative lack of female directors. Also recently at the Tony Awards, the same point was made about Broadway. How difficult was it for you to get where you are now as a very accomplished filmmaker?
I'm lucky to have chosen the documentary end of filmmaking because, in fact, I think if you look at the documentary that are made today, at least 50% are made by women. It might be because our budgets are smaller, but I think a lot of it also has to do with they're independently made. Like I have a 501c3 that makes my movies, and that, you know, women as well as men, documentary male filmmakers, we have a lot of tenacity, and we just plunge forward to raise the money and make our films. And I would argue, you know, that women, both by our upbringing and our commitment, are geared to be able to pull off documentary films.
So maybe Hollywood could learn a bit from the documentary film folks?
Oh, absolutely. And I think what's encouraging is that a lot more, although it's a very small percentage still, a lot more features are coming out being made by women. I think there's more female studio heads or women in position that can greenlight movies, and that I think it's important that we don't typecast that, you know, a woman always just makes the romantic movie. I mean, I pride myself on having made a baseball war movie the second time around, and possibly a little different. There's maybe more romance in my documentary that I think a man would do, but I think I present the dangers as well as a man would have done. And I think it's very important now for the push to have more female filmmakers that I hope in about 10 years, this won't even be a question. No matter for a female or male filmmaker, the most important thing for us independent documentary filmmakers is word of mouth.
Filmmaker Aviva Kempner spreading the word about her new documentary, The Spy Behind Home Plate. It's playing at Milwaukee's Oriental Theater through this evening. Kempner spoke with WUWM's Chuck Kornbach.